Hello and welcome to the Big Happy Life podcast. I'm Natalie Britt and I'm a life coach and trainer and hypnotherapist. And I work generally with women, usually who are both parents and business owners, to help them shape their habits so they have a life that feels amazing, that brings them joy, brings them fulfillment, and doesn't completely rip them apart and stress them out, as our big lives often can. So in this episode, I want to talk a little bit about behavior change. When there are things you want to achieve, goals you have, but getting yourself to do the behaviors that you need to do in order to get those goals becomes enormously challenging. And specifically, the part I want to talk about is how so many of us set ourselves up for failure because we force ourselves to swim against the tide without ever thinking about how to change the tide. And so if you are somebody who has really judged yourself, been critical of yourself, thought, oh Christ, I've got no willpower, I'm never going to be able to do this, I'm so inconsistent, I never stick with these things. If those are the kinds of things you've said to yourself, then this episode is for you. So let's dive in. Behavior change specialist looking to help people make specific changes to the things they do in order to get the results they want. I've spent a lot of my time and a lot of my energy trying to understand why people do what they do, why I do what I do, and why I make promises to myself that I don't keep, why my clients do the same thing, and what stops us, what gets in the way. And over the years, I've put all of my learning, knowledge, experimentation, and experience into one big container, if you like. And that has become my BSET behavior change model. And the model works almost like a diagnostic tool. It allows you to think about, okay, if I can't do this, if I keep setting myself up, promising myself I'm going to do it, and then I can't stick with it, what's really going on? And where do I need to place my attention so that I can make this easier for myself and increase my chances of success? So before I talk about swimming against the tide, I'm just going to take a brief moment to explain the BSET behavior change model. And it goes like this. B equals set. So B, which is behavior, equals state plus environment plus time. And the way that that translates is basically saying the choices you make about the things you do, and therefore the things you do, are a combination of your state, that is how you are thinking and feeling at the time, plus your environment, plus time. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of the whole model here. I'm really going to be focusing on the E, environment, but I will touch on some of the other elements. And if you particularly want to know about BSET and you want to understand it in the context of your life and your behavioral choices, then you can reach out to me by email, natalie@bighappylife.co.uk. You can also find me on social media under my name. So on LinkedIn, Natalie Britt, on Facebook, Natalie Britt, and on Instagram, you can find me at big_happylife. Okay, so BSET, as I say, can be a diagnostic tool, but it can also be a preparatory tool. In other words, if there is a thing you are going to be changing, then understanding BSET can help you prepare. So the E in BSET stands for environment. And when it comes to healthy lifestyle choices, things that ultimately improve our mental and physical health, give us more energy and vitality, and improve how we feel and how we can engage in our lives, allow us to be more intentional and so on. Most of the habits that allow those things to happen are not the habits that people are engaging in around us. And so when we decide you know, I'm going to start the business, I'm going to earn £1 million, I'm going to lose weight and get healthy, I'm going to quit drinking and give my body a chance to really heal itself and get to the point where I wake up feeling vibrant and energized, whatever the thing is. Like, we set ourselves these goals and then we have to go ahead and do the behaviors. But in the absence of understanding BSET, one of the things we repeatedly do is we simply think of ourselves as kind of static entities in whatever environment we're in. So let's say it's a diet goal, and you might be thinking about the foods that you will eat. You know, maybe it's sometimes you're at home, sometimes you're in the office, sometimes you're at a party, and you may recognize that some of those environments are going to be harder than others, but you don't necessarily recognize the effect the environment has on how you feel. Nor do you think about the effect how you feel has on your ability to withstand the environment if it is working against your goals. So let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, I was on holiday in Crete. Now, I am somebody who has, for my whole life, I have struggled with food. I work really, really hard on maintaining healthy food choices when I'm at home. I have very easy to follow patterns when I'm at home because my entire environment around me is set up for that. So I do intermittent fasting, I don't drink alcohol, I eat very healthy meals, lots of fruit and vegetables, lots of organic whole food, very little processed food, very little junk, if you like. But 2 weeks ago, I was on holiday we were part of a group of 15 people, and we went to Crete on an all-inclusive package, four families, lots of kids, and we were all on this all-inclusive package. So now you have me, the person who is a behavior change specialist, a life coach, a habit coach, a mindset coach and hypnotherapist. I have all these tools and all these abilities and all these skills. I look after my health. My friends call me the sugar police. And here I am in this environment where almost every single person I encountered was eating mountains of garbage. Now, there were healthy options available, and most people did have some healthy stuff on their plate. Some people ate large amounts of healthy stuff, but almost everyone also ate large amounts of trash. And as somebody who, you know, when I think about how I grew up, food was an enormous part of how we expressed love or how we enjoyed time off and relaxation, how we de-stressed, how we connected with each other. Food was part of every holiday. We ate when we were bored. We ate if we went out somewhere. We ate if we encountered a food we'd never encountered before. We ate if it was lunchtime. We ate if someone suggested it. Like, we ate all the time. And it was always this, oh, you know, we really shouldn't, but what the hell, we're on holiday. And that's been my programming for, my entire childhood and into early adulthood. So despite the fact that I am somebody who really actively looks after my health now, I was in this environment where that kind of mentality and those kinds of thought processes and habits were clearly at play, not just necessarily in our group, but actually everywhere I looked, that was the pattern. And it sparked in me, the desire to take part and be part of it, because that was how we connected when I was a kid as well. But also, like I say, as somebody who really, really battles with food, I just wanted to eat it because it was there and it looked so good. But I also didn't want to eat it. And so I had this internal battle and conflict waging all the time. And that's the part I want to mention to you, because when we look at BSET, the E stands for environment, and the environment in which you place yourself is going to determine how hard the tide is flowing against you. And when the tide is flowing against you, it is true, you can resist, you can push, and you can fight. That's where willpower comes in. However, it is the absolute hardest way to do any form of behavior change. And for most of us, it leads us to become really, really fatigued and to believe that there's something wrong with us. So if I say, you know, in that environment, I really battled and I wasn't able to maintain the same habits I would maintain at home, the same eating patterns and the same level of high quality, healthy food. When I returned home, I was exhausted and really depleted and felt, I almost felt like I was breathing out for the first time when I got home. Like I didn't even register quite how stressed I was while I was there. On top of that though, I mean, it wasn't just the food. Like I wasn't sleeping particularly well and I was stressing a bit about business and, you know, not being on social media, not keeping up with some of the things that I needed to do within my business. And, you know, so it was like, it wasn't just the food on its own. Now, a lot of those pieces fit under the heading of state. How you feel and how you're thinking in the moment where you have to make the choice. And that's the part that again becomes really vitally important in understanding how to get the best out of yourself and how to change your behavior so you can keep moving. If you are in highly antagonistic environments like the one I was in, you have to get yourself into the strongest, most resilient state you can be in. You have to be so connected to that seat of power you hold within yourself in order to get through it. And if you lose connection with that seat of power, the environment will wipe you out. And that is normal. And the reason that I share this with you is really to help release some of the guilt and the shame that so many of us carry, thinking there's something wrong with us. But actually, when you look around at Western society, the majority of the habits almost everyone is engaging in are making us sicker, less energized, less healthy, and less happy. But the messages we receive culturally are that these things are the route to happiness. You know, the going on the holidays and eating all the food, as an example, you know, that is the cultural rhetoric of like, this is what a holiday looks like. If you're going to do it well, you're going to lie around all day. You're not going to do anything. You're going to eat anything that you want, and you're going to have a blooming great time. But actually, when you come home from a holiday like that, you feel exhausted and you put on weight, your clothes don't fit properly, and you kind of need a holiday to recover from the holiday. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And yet, if you were to look for a holiday and find that the catering options didn't include loads of garbage, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit weird, isn't it? And those are the kinds of things I want to highlight. Those are the kinds of things I want to draw your attention to, because in the absence of understanding that actually, culturally, the entire tide is going against you if your goal is to be healthy, vital, vibrant, happy, and so on, then the key becomes one of two things. Like I said, if you're going to go into an environment where the tide is going to aggressively work against you, you have to be in the most powerful state you can be. That means you need really high levels of skill to manage your mindset, deal with, understand, monitor, manage, and regulate your emotions, and have really practical and powerful ways to relieve and manage stress. In my case, unfortunately, on the holiday, like I said, I didn't sleep particularly well, so my stress levels elevated. It became enormously difficult for me to fight against that environment, and in the end, I didn't. But because I understand BSET, I know a lot of that had to do with the fact that I just wasn't able to connect with the resourceful part of myself to enough of a degree to manage the tide working against me. But fortunately, it's 1 week out of 52. And so as soon as I return home, it's very easy to go with the flow because the flow is going in the direction of what I want to go towards. So I'd love you to take this as an invitation to think about your own environment. Not just the environment you're in on a day-to-day basis, but also the environment in which you were raised and in which you learned the habits you have. You learned what's normal, what's acceptable, what everyone else is doing, and how that makes you belong or fit in. And then possibly consider on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong do you have to be to resist the tide of those environmental patterns. The likelihood is, if it's a sort of three or less, you can probably do it even if you are a bit depleted, a little bit tired. You can probably still stay the course. But as you go upwards, four, five, definitely once you go over five, you're then in territory where you are repeatedly battering your willpower. And that requires far greater inner resources, far greater ability to manage your state, and far greater cause to change elements of your environment. That's actually the easier way to do it. So option one becomes engaging in practices that will really give you a more powerful state. And option two is you begin to change your environment. You introduce new elements. You take out old elements. You disengage from certain parts of the environment. Stop going to certain places. Possibly spend less time with certain people while you shape your environment. Find people who want the same things you want. Connect with those people. Get inspired by those people. Learn how they are doing things. Take things out of your environment that force you to continue to fight yourself. So, you know, if it is food, the ability to remove some of those really difficult foods from your home can make the choices that much easier. And these are all often things that we logically know, but the part I think few of us really think about, particularly those of us who are super critical with ourselves, is that the environment changes our state. And the more we fight and the more we have to fight a tide that is aggressively working against us, the more tired and stressed we become. And the more tired and stressed we become, the more difficult it is to fight. And so it is the combination of environment and state that really actively determines whether or not you are going to succeed. And therefore, when you set goals, it's not a great idea just to think about yourself doing the things you need to do and thinking about, okay, well, I've got a plan for this habit and I'm going to do that and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to post on social media twice a day if it's a business goal. I'm going to, you know, whatever it is that you have to do, you can set about and you can plan it. But what you haven't taken into account is the fact that your emotional state is going to shift repeatedly as you attempt to engage in those behaviors, and your environment is going to either help you or it's going to work against you. And as I say, if it's a lifestyle goal, the probability is, if you are in the Western world, and to be fair, Western habits have bled far beyond Western culture, you are likely going to be in an environment that is working against you. And many people can say, well, that's an excuse. Like, you just have to push harder. You just have to be more motivated. You just have to be more determined and more resourceful and so on. But that type of thinking is what turns us against ourselves. It's what makes us judge ourselves. It's what makes us think there's something wrong with us. And so in this episode, I invite you to think about these things as not excuses, not things to crush and destroy and say, oh, that's total garbage. There's no point thinking that way because it's just going to weaken me and I have to just figure out a way to push through. But instead, to approach this with compassion and curiosity and start thinking about, okay, if I want to give myself the maximum possibility of success, how do I do that in the easiest possible way? How do I make it less necessary for me to fight all the time? How do I get it so that the things and the people and the resources I have around me are actively helping me, making it easier? So if I do go with the flow, I flow in the direction I'm actually wanting to go. And when you start thinking that way, you begin to find solutions that make the whole process a hell of a lot easier and stop turning you against yourself and giving you reasons to judge yourself. And that's really the aim, the goal of not just this podcast episode, but really all the work that I do. So if that is something you want, I hope this episode has helped you. If you need further help, you know where to find me, Natalie Britt on LinkedIn and Facebook, big_happylife on Instagram. You can also visit the show notes for this episode at bighappylife.co.uk, and you'll find everything you need there. Also, my contact details are there as well. And if you have found this episode helpful and you think somebody else might benefit from listening, please do share it. Please do leave a review. That helps us get to more listeners and helps the podcast get a much wider audience, which of course is always wonderful for any podcast. And I would be delighted to have this one reach more people. For now though, that's it from me. Thanks for listening.